If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Why do I say that? Why do I say turn in your Bibles to the 13th chapter of John? Why not just turn in your comic books to Donald Duck? I cannot emphasize the importance of God's Word in being preached and in being taught. I have many responsibilities as pastor of this church, but the two greatest responsibilities I have, number one, is preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And if you are in the habit of attending church and just coming in and sitting and treating it like a spectator support, you're not going to get much out of our church services. But I do believe with all of my heart, if God speaks to me through His Word and burdens my heart for a message that needs to be preached, and if you'll follow along in the Word of God, you will receive a rich and rewarding blessing from Him. There's no substitute for Bible study, no substitute for Bible reading. And I encourage you to give great attention to the study of God's Word in these days. It has affected every area of our life. It has affected our school system. It has affected churches. It has affected our home life. It has affected our business world. Everything we do has been affected by the little G-O-D, the God of this world. And the only deliverance I can find from that is get into the book, God's blessed book. And He tells us how to live, tells us what to do, tells us what not to do. And we say, dear Lord, teach us and help us to follow your leadership. So the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, you might want to take a note or two this morning unless you have a sharp, sharp memory. This is the foot washing chapter in the Bible. It is the foot washing chapter in the Bible. If you do not believe that, look at verse number 5. That speaks of foot washing. Verse number 6 speaks of foot washing. Verse number 8 speaks of foot washing. Verse number 9 talks about foot washing. Verse number 12 talks about foot washing. And again in verse number 14 talks about foot. I believe He's going to guide us about foot washing today. All right? Mentioned some 6 times in these opening verses of chapter number 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, He didn't love everybody, He loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and He began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel therewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Notice that's a question mark. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. That's an emphatic statement. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. But you are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him, therefore said He, You're not all clean. So after He had washed their feet, and taken His garments, and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you that do them. Verse number 12 gives us our text. After that the Lord had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said to them, and this is it, know ye what I have done unto you. Do you realize what I've just finished doing to you? The Bible teaches that the church has no sacraments. That's the New Testament church. False churches do have sacraments, but God's church does not have sacraments. It has two ordinances, namely the ordinance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. However, there are some Baptists which have added a third one, namely that of foot washing. There are some Baptists that practice foot washing in their worship services. It raises a question, is this right for some Baptist churches to observe this and not for all Baptist churches to observe it? What is foot washing all about? Notice the context. John chapter 13, the first part of verse number 1 says, before the feast of the Passover. He's going to tell us about something that happened at the feast of the Passover and introduces it with this statement, before the feast of the Passover. Now you have to go to Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 17 to get what happened before the feast of the Passover, because that's how the 13th chapter of John begins. In Mark chapter 14, verse 12, and the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? He sendeth forth two of his disciples and said, go into the city, and there you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. Now you leave that statement and go right into John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, we just read you of what happened before the feast of the Passover. Now we're getting into what began to occur during the feast of the Passover. There are a lot of things to be mentioned here, and many of the things we do not have the time to discuss this morning. But during the supper, it says the supper being ended, or coming to that latter part of the supper, in verse 2, the devil had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Christ. And our Lord in verse 4 riseth from the supper. His disciples are with him there. He lays aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now there are three things we need to get straight in our thinking about this event. I don't know everything. Number two, you don't know everything. And there are some things we're not going to know till we get to heaven. But there are some things in God's Word we could know before we get to heaven if we just took the time out to study the Word of God. There are three things we need to get straight in our thinking about this event. If this literal act is an ordinance for the church to observe, then we sin against God by not observing it. If it is a literal act, of pouring water in a pan or a basin and literally washing the disciples' feet, we need to understand if we do not do that, we sin against God by not observing it. Look at verses 14 through 15. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. If he's speaking about the literal act of washing one's feet, then we sin against God by not doing what he told us to do. Secondly, apparently Jesus Christ had more in mind here than just the literal act of washing feet. Look at verse number 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Now, I'm persuaded that every person in that upper room knew exactly what Christ was doing. He was using water in a basin and washing the disciples' feet, and yet he said, "What I'm doing, you don't understand." Peter understood the literal act because he said, "You're not going to wash my feet." Immediately his mind began to register on the literal effect of washing feet. So what Christ actually is doing here goes beyond just literally washing feet. You don't understand it now. And there are a lot of churches who practice this literally, still do not understand it now. But he said, "You will understand it." So Christ must have had more in mind than just the literal act. The third thing is, we do not have one account of where the disciples or the church ever followed this literal example of washing feet. You know, our pedo-Baptist friends sometimes talk about the reasons why they baptize little babies and little children. And there's one thing you can always ask a paedo-Baptist, and that is this: give me a scripture for it. Show me anywhere in the Word of God where the church baptized little babies. It's not there. Also, in that same light, show me anywhere in the Bible where the church ever washed one another's feet as a religious group of people. Now look at the text in verse 12. "Know ye what I have done unto you." Do you realize Christ is saying this to these disciples? And he was just a breath away from Calvary. Shortly he would die on the cross. He said, "Do you understand what I'm doing today and what I'm saying today?" They did not. Jesus told them, and they still did not. Let me ask you a question. Do you know? Do you understand this act of foot washing? That's what I want to deal with this morning. I think it is very important. Number one, literal foot washing was an Eastern custom of the people showing hospitality and courtesy. Now listen to that. Literal foot washing was an Eastern custom of people showing courtesy and hospitality. Now, we've kind of watered it down a little bit today. Most you'll ever get is a handshake. But back then, my dear friends, in the Eastern countries, they actually washed one another's feet. A traveler who had come in, they received him with hospitality. It was a practice in Eastern culture. Just jot these references down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, Paul is qualifying widows in the church. Not everybody who claims to be a widow is scripturally qualified as a widow in the church. And in 1 Timothy 5:10, Paul is speaking about that very subject. And he says a scriptural widow in the church is well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she's followed every good work. There's that hospitality again. Widows washing the feet of weary travelers. In Luke chapter 7, verse 44, Christ was speaking to Simon the Pharisee. You remember that Simon the Pharisee invited Christ over to his home for a meal, and while they were eating, a woman of the streets came in and began to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears. And Simon the Pharisee said, I don't understand why he's doing this. He ought to know what kind of woman she is. And Jesus spoke these words to Simon in Luke 7:44. I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Now, it was a custom to do that. You'd be a good person showing hospitality to do that. This lady has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. People did not wear shoes like we do today. They went barefoot or they wore sandals. They had no paved streets. They had no sidewalks. They walked in dusty trails. Washing their feet would cool their feet as well as cleanse them. It was an act of hospitality. Now, in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, you find a classic example of this. Genesis 18, 1 through 4. The Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, as he, that is Abraham, sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. Why? Because they're strangers and they're walking through that part of the land. And Abraham went out to greet them. That's what you do. He bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, and I've got that encircled, not a whole lot of water. We're not going to baptize them. We're going to wash their feet, all right? Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Hebrews 13:2 says, Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. A second thing that's very important to keep in mind is that Jesus Christ used this simple custom of washing feet to teach his disciples a spiritual truth. I will say that again. The Lord Jesus used the simple custom of washing feet to teach the disciples a spiritual truth. Our Lord often used things of nature to demonstrate spiritual things. Did he not do the same thing to Nicodemus? Jesus Christ used the wind to Nicodemus to illustrate the principle of regeneration. Nicodemus, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So Christ often used the custom of various things, in this case foot washing, to teach his disciples a spiritual truth. Look at verse number 5. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towels therewith he was girded, wherewith he was girded. There are two very important words there, water and feet. You see that? Water and feet. It is more than literal water and more than literal feet. The water represents the Word of God. Throughout the Bible, we give you case after case where that is so. Water spiritually represents the Word of God. Let me give you a verse from Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking thereto unto thy word. How do we find cleansing from sin? By taking attention to the Word of God. The church is cleansed how? According to Ephesians chapter 5, by the water of God's Word.
Let me read that for you. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Believers are given a bath through the word of God. In John chapter 15, verse 3, the Lord said, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." There's the spiritual aspect of it. You're clean through the word. Water does not cleanse spiritually. The word of God cleanses spiritually through the word which I have spoken unto you. In the Old Testament, remember all of the furniture. One was a laver of brass, and it sat outside of the tabernacle. And when the priest would offer sacrifices to the Lord and go through that procedure, he would go over to that laver of brass, and it was filled with water, and he would wash his hands, and he would wash his feet. It was a ceremonial type thing of indicating he was taking attention to the word of God and doing what God told Moses the high priest was supposed to do. So much for water. Feet spiritually represent conduct and behavior. There are not too many people that have pretty knees. Think about it. If folk were to work more on their knees and less on their face, they'd be more attractive. Knees just now are not pretty. Toes are worse than knees. Feet. Take somebody's, "Oh, look how beautiful their feet." Ugly feet. That's the reason women spend so much time going to the pedicurist, to get their nails trimmed, their feet nails, and all of the things that pertain, making the feet beautiful. However, spiritually speaking, listen to what God says. And let me preface this statement with another statement. I have ugly feet, okay? Romans 10, 15, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel." How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel. Feet spiritually represents conduct and behavior. You walk with your feet. At least you should. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. "Wherein in time past you walked." There it is. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 and 15, "Walk in love as Christ hath also loved us. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You see, the connotation there is it's ordering your conduct and your behavior that it's done in a Christ-like manner. How you walk has to do with how you live, the decisions that you make, the walk of an individual. And here we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What is circumspectly? I think maybe this illustration will help you best understand it. It is a cat on a fence, carefully walking from point A to point B, and just beneath that fence is a pit bulldog, hoping the cat will make one mistake. And therefore, the cat has to walk circumspectly, very carefully. We ought to be careful how we walk. Do you understand what I'm saying?
we ought to be careful the steps we take, how we walk. Thus we see in the act of foot washing, Christ was cleansing their conduct and their behavior with the water of God's blessed word. Verses 6 through 8. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now. Listen to that statement. What I'm doing to you, you have no earthly idea what it means. Well, anybody ought to be able to figure out, if you can figure out 2 plus 2 equals 4, there's a pot of water, a basin of water, and there's a rag, or there's an individual that's going to take your feet and put... He's washing feet. I had a friend not too long ago, and I won't go into detail on it, but the punchline was great. Someone asked, and he happens to belong to a church that washes feet, okay? And someone who does not do that in their church says, well, how do you wash feet? And he paused a moment, and this is what he said. Well, I take a pan and I put water in it. And I get on my hands and on my knees and I take a person's feet and I stick the feet in the water. And that's how I wash feet. Well, that's how anybody washes feet, isn't it? Huh? I think he was talking down to him. I'm not quite sure about that. Sounded like he was. But here we see Peter bolting like John the Baptist. You remember Christ approached John the Baptist and said, you're to baptize me. John said, no, sir, that'll never happen. I'll baptize you. No, you baptize me, Lord Jesus. And here he says to Simon Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no, Lord, I'm the one that needs to wash your feet. Christ said, you understand what I'm doing? When Christ came to be baptized of John, John claimed unworthiness because he did not understand why he had to baptize the Lord Jesus. There was a reason for that. When Christ attempts to wash Peter's feet, Peter claimed unworthiness. It is Peter who should be washing the feet of the Savior. He too did not understand what the Lord was doing in washing feet. Notice these two prepositions, in me and with me. Very important. In verse 8, Peter said, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. He did not say, Thou hast no part in me. He said, Thou hast no part with me. In me has to do with our relationship to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. With me has to do with our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ by how we walk and what we do with our feet. You need to see that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, that's our relationship with Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He also says it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not with Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus, unto good works. But with me, that's a matter of fellowship. 1 John 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him, not in him, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part of fellowshipping with me. You are still mine. You belong to me, but you've got some things in your life that need to be repented of, and that's what I'm doing. That's what you need to understand. But all you can see is a basin of water and a hand towel. You don't understand this, Peter. If we refuse to let the Word cleanse our behavior, if we refuse to let the Lord do that through His Word, as Simon did, it will result in several things.
Number one, our worship will be affected. The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria, "He that worships must worship him in spirit and in truth." I want to tell you something. You can't worship God with dirty feet. Now, you can sit in a pew and you can mouth and lip sync the words, but you can't worship God with dirty feet. Got to have them washed. Got to have them washed. Not only will our worship be affected, our fellowship with Him will be affected. We cannot have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. We cannot play it both ways. Not only will our fellowship with Him be affected, our fellowship with other believers will be affected. If you find yourself trying to walk in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord and there's sin there and you won't deal with it, my dear friends, all of a sudden you start blaming everybody in the church for your dilemma. They don't love me enough. I don't like the way they do that. I don't like the singing. I don't like Brother Roger. I don't like Brother Dan. So forth. And it goes on and gets bigger. Your problem is, my dear friend, we're not out of step. You're the ones out of step. And you'll never be able to worship God and have fellowship with believers with dirty feet. You can't do it. Can't do it. Our prayer life will be affected. I tell you what you do. If you're not walking in the light as He's in the light, stay away from the prayer altar, because you'll choke to death trying to pray when it's not all right with the Lord. Our testimony will be affected. Others will begin to notice we're kind of cooling off. It's much easier to stay out of church than it is to come to church. It's much easier to take God's tithe and use it on personal pleasure than give it where God said give it. And you begin to argue with God. "You're not going to wash my feet, Lord." Yes, He is. If you have any part with Him, got to have your feet washed. Our joy will be affected. No wonder David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know why he said that? Because he tried to walk with dirty feet and he could not do it. Can't do it. Verses 9 through 10. Peter said unto him, "Lord, not just my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not at all." He was referring to Judas Iscariot. But the point being is Simon Peter did not need to be bathed over completely. He had already been saved by the grace of God. But he did have a problem with his feet, with his fellowship with the Lord. We need only one atonement. And that secures our fellowship. No, it secures our relationship with Him. Only one atonement. Only one complete washing. Have you ever noticed how Hebrews chapter 10 stresses that? Verse 10, 12, and 14. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once. Once for all." He didn't die a lot of times. He only died once for you, and He died once for me. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, he didn't offer a whole lot of sacrifices. He offered only one sacrifice on the cross. "Forever sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." We need only one atonement, which secures our relationship with Him. I am a child of God by what He did for me on the cross of Calvary, and He doesn't have to do it every day, every hour, every moment. My relationship in Christ is set and secured in Him. But we do need daily baths to secure our unbroken fellowship with Him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verses 12 through 13, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say it well, for so I am. And if I am your Lord and Master, and have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That brings up an interesting question. How do we wash feet? How do we? We know how the Lord did it. How do we wash feet? And should we wash feet in our church? In this capacity? Absolutely. How can we do this? Number one, in the preaching service. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. When the preacher points out sin in the believer's life, he's washing feet. Huh? Have you ever been to church before and you left and you say, I really don't know what he talked about, but it must have been pretty good. And then there are other times when you leave the church and say, he got all over me. When he's getting all over you, he's washing your feet. Huh? Taking the scripture and washing the congregation with the word of God. Washing not only their feet, but his own feet. In the teaching class, Sunday school teachers do the same thing in teaching the Word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to walk. It teaches us how to talk. Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. In individual conversations, it's possible for one believer to wash the feet of another believer. Now, you have to be careful lest you have a holier-than-thou-art attitude and you feel like you're cleaner than anybody else and you got a right to tell everybody else they got a B.O. Huh? You have to be careful about that. But, dear friends, sometimes we take Scripture and the Scripture does the work. It washes the feet of a brother. Best example I know of that is in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. The Bible says that when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul is speaking now. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. How do you like that? Peter was called on the carpet by Paul because he was to be blamed. Peter was. For before certain came from James, before they came from James, they were Jews and they believed in circumcision. But Peter was eating with the Gentiles because he said, you know what, these old boys, they've been saved too, and I'm just going to fellowship with them. But when he saw these circumcised Jews come, Peter backed off and wouldn't have any fellowship with the Gentiles. And because of that, verse 14, when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, watch this, he didn't call him, this is beautiful. He didn't call him over to the side and say, I want to tell you something just between the two of us. No, he said, everybody's going to hear what I got to say. What does he say? But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, quite frankly, he called Peter a hypocrite. But you know what? He washed his feet. Peter never did that anymore. Paul washed his feet. It can take place in individual conversations. It can take place in settling a difference with a brother. I think it's very interesting and noteworthy. When did Christ wash their feet?
When did he wash their feet, the disciples? When did this happen? Number one, it was before instituting the Lord's Supper. It was before he instituted the Lord's Supper. It was observing the Passover, and it started with a Paschal lamb, the feast of the Passover, and from that meal, the Lord Jesus introduced the Lord's Supper. Take, eat, this is my body, and the cup is my blood, and he introduced that to the church at the same sitting, at the same meeting. But the point being is Christ washed their feet before he instituted the Lord's Supper. Let me make two or three statements here. We must not eat the Lord's Supper with dirty feet. We must not eat the Lord's Supper with dirty feet. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 27 through 32, the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and following. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That means judgment to himself. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Paul is teaching there, my dear friends, that when people do not take the Lord's Supper seriously as a matter of confession unto God and a yieldedness to God, that it's quite possible God will apply discipline to them and make some of them sick and even take the lives of some of them. You say, well, I don't serve a God like you. Don't serve God anyway. That's the God we have, my dear friends. And he's a God that won't let you live like you want to live. He won't let you do it. We must eat the Lord's Supper with clean feet, not dirty feet. Second of all, when did Jesus wash their feet? Pilgrims and travelers. That's what they were. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, we're pilgrims and travelers on this earth. We get our feet dirty all the time. That's why it's necessary to study the Scriptures daily. Okay? Study the Scriptures daily. And thirdly, we will be happy if we do it. According to John 13, 17, if you know these things, happy are you that do it. Not because you physically and literally wash somebody's stinking feet, but because you applied the spiritual application to it with the Word of God, and it has to do with our character and with our walk and our talk and the lives we live as God's people. Foot washing is a form of discipline. It is. Foot washing is a form of discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Did you hear what the scripture says there? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. We, like Peter, say, my feet will not be washed. Some preaching is not pleasant. The disciples said when Christ got through with the bread of life dissertation, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. My mother, when I was a small child, would say to me, before she got to wearing me out with a peach tree limb for some wicked thing that I had done, honey, this is for your good. I never believed it. Because I didn't feel a whole lot better after she got through. I felt worse. But you know what? I put away my toys. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. One day I put those things away, and I've begun, because of a few accumulated years, to understand that discipline is good for the believer. We do need our feet washed. One other reference, I want to give this because to me it is a classic reference. Nathan washed King David's feet. Do you remember? David was king over Israel and Nathan was a preacher. And Nathan washed King David's feet, not with water, not literal water, not taking a towel and drying literal water off of his feet, but he washed him with a word. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, you know what David had done, all right? He had taken another man's wife, Bathsheba. He had taken another man's life, Uriah, put Uriah in a place where he'd be murdered on the line. David was guilty. He had dirty feet. Now, the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Here comes the preacher. Oh, watch it when the preacher comes, okay? The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, David, I want to tell you a little story. David said, all right, preacher, go ahead. I got a few minutes this morning. And Nathan continued, there were two men in one city. One was a rich man, the other was poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished up and grew up with it together with him and with the little children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his own bosom. And old David was mesmerized by that illustration because he had taken little lambs and held them in his bosom. He could appreciate that. But he said, there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and his own herd. He wouldn't take anything of the rich man's flock or his herd to dress it for the wayfaring man. But when he came to the poor man, he took all that the man had, that one little ewe lamb. And you remember, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that had done this thing, I'll kill him. Nathan is washing his feet. He didn't know it. And so Nathan abruptly reminds him in verse 7, Nathan said to David, you are that man. David got his feet washed. And when he did, David got right with the Lord, because he realized that story pertained to him and what he had done to Bathsheba's husband and to Uriah on the battlefield and to Bathsheba herself. How do you end a message like this? Got any dirt on your feet today? Do you have any dirt on your feet today? The Lord sees the dirt, even when we do not. If that be the case, if you're a Christian, read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Let it be your guide every day that you live, dear friend, because it's how the Lord bathes us and continues to restore fellowship with us day by day as we confess our sins to Him. Now, that's why we don't observe literal foot washing in this church, but we do highly recommend that we have good dosages of it from time to time from the Word of God to keep us in the right way and doing the right thing. Would you please stand with me in prayer?